Today we return to our study in 1 Timothy. And as we discussed a few weeks ago, we are living in a time where gender roles have been reversed, where women are acting like men and where men are acting like women. I want to encourage you to be here next week, because today all we can do is introduce what we're talking about. It is, I wish we could have it all, but you're not willing to stay here until 2 o'clock, I don't believe. And so we're going to basically give an introduction, and we'll come back next week and finish it. I know that what we're talking about today is a touchy subject. I know that it's not popular, and I know that everything I say can be twisted and can be perverted to mean something that is not true, that's not the intent of Scripture, and it's not my intent today. And so I'm asking you to resolve right now not to be offended, not to twist anything that I'm saying, not to hear some man up here speaking, not to play into the societal pressures. Don't do those things, but to listen eagerly with expectation at what God has said in His Word. And those of you who know me know that it is my attempt, and I do fail at times, but it is my attempt not to hold to any conviction that the Bible does not hold to, and to let go of everything that the Bible does not hold to. That is my attempt. My attempt is not to stand here and tell you what I think, although sometimes I do. My goal and my job and my responsibility is to tell you what God thinks, not me. And that is indeed what I will attempt to do over the course of these next few weeks, as I always do. God has created man and woman in His image. There is a difference between a man and a woman. All you have to do is look at us and you can tell that there is a difference. We are created to complement one another, not to replace one another. God made us to work together. We were created to need one another. We were created to fill different roles. The man is no more like God than the woman, and the woman is no more like God than man. It says in Genesis 1:27 that God created man in His image. And when it says mankind, God created mankind in His image, Genesis 1:27, and in His image He created them male and female. He created them both. Both man and woman are required. Man and woman are required. Both have a God-given role and a God-given function, and those God-given roles and functions are different. They are separate from one another. The man does not have the woman's role, and the woman does not have the man's role. Although everyone in our society and everything in our world would tell you differently. Men do not have babies, for example. Men do not, nor can they do many of the things that a woman can do. Yet, we know that there's some things that men can do that women can't do. We are told by the biologists, by those in the health professions, that men have the capacity to hold more oxygen. On general, not always the case, but on general, they're bigger. They have the ability to carry more weight. They have the ability to have larger muscles. Physically, they're different. They're different in their role. They're different in function. And today is not just about equality or unequality. And next week as well, it's not about that. It's not about sexism. It's not about chauvinism. It's not about suppression. And it's not about oppression. It's about none of those things. It's actually about, and speaking of Independence Day, it's actually about freedom. Today is about liberation. It's about freedom. It is about freeing women up to be the women that God created them to be and is calling them to be and has equipped them to be and is equipping them to be. And it's about men being the men that God created them to be, is calling them to be, and has equipped and is equipping them to be. It's about freedom. Freedom to be who God made you to be, not who the world's telling you you have to be. And this is important. It's important because Satan wants nothing more than for men to abdicate their God-given role and purpose. And Satan wants nothing more than for women to abdicate their God-given role and purpose. And Satan is winning in the culture. And he's winning in many churches, but he must not win in this church. He must not win in the church. And this has been Satan's desire since the beginning. Satan has always won. This is his desire. Satan's about telling people that they would have a better life if they had someone else's position, someone else's place, someone else's property, someone else's power, someone else's possessions. Whatever it is, Satan wants to tell you that you are incomplete and that your life would be better if you only had what someone else had. Is that not what he says? That's what he says. That's what he said in the beginning to Adam and Eve, and that's what he says to me today. And that's what he said to everyone ever since, is that you are not complete in what someone else has had. You're not good enough the way God made you. Even biology tells you that now, don't it? You're not good enough. You're going to evolve into something else. Just go ahead and evolve. I'm watching. I hope the global warming thing's real because I want to see us develop scales or whatever armadillos have. That's what I want to see. You're not good enough like you are. You've got to have something else. God made the man, and then he made the woman to be his helper. We just studied this before we studied Timothy. We went through Genesis. We saw how all of that worked out. The man was made to be a leader, provider, and caretaker. The woman was to be his helper, his companion, and his wife. God made them for a purpose. He gave them both a role to do. Without the other, they cannot fulfill their roles. Both are required. Both are needed. Both are mandated. And both were created by God for his special purpose. The woman was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. She's not inferior, but she is the same. The same quality, the same dignity, the same intelligence, but with different roles, different physical abilities, different functions, different callings. There is an order. There is an order to the way God created things. He created them for a purpose, and that's why 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, and you can turn there if you want or jot it down, but I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. Is that a bad thing? Is it a bad thing that the head of every man is Christ? No, it's not a bad thing. Well, he goes on to say the head of a wife is her husband. Is that a bad thing? Is it a bad thing that the head of the wife is the husband? Absolutely not, because it's not a bad thing that the head of man is Christ. And then he also says that the head of Christ is God. Is that a bad thing? Does that imply inferiority in Christ, that he would somehow be inferior to God the Father? Absolutely not. We know that's not what the Bible teaches at all. That God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're the same. They're one. One. As a man and a wife should be one flesh. You see, having a head does not make one inferior. Having someone over us does not make us inferior. Not at all. And that's a lie of Satan. It's a lie of Satan. Matter of fact, people will tell you the same thing. If you feel like you need God, then you're somehow inferior to the rest of the enlightened world, and therefore, you can believe in whatever you believe in to get you through the day. That's what they tell you. Well, I need God. You can call me inferior or not. But it's not inferiority. It's that God made us to need Him. God made us in His image. He made us to have a relationship with Him. Having a head does not make one inferior. So, like I said, Christ is inferior to God the Father, and that just cannot be. So just because a man is the head of the woman does not mean that she is inferior. Just because the husband is the head of the wife does not mean that the wife is inferior. And I know this has been abused throughout the ages. I know that it's been abused in churches. I know this has been abused in your lifetime. It might have even been abused by you or to you. I understand that. But just because of sinful men doing things wrong doesn't give us the right to walk away from what God has said. It gives us the responsibility to do it in the way God has said to do it. It says, God says for husbands to love their wife, how as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And wives are supposed to submit to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. It's not a dictator type of relationship. It's not a you do this and you do that and you do what I say and you be quiet. It's not that at all. It means there's a rank. There's rank, like in the military. You know, in the military they have sergeants and they have privates. And the sergeant is the head of the private. They're the one who's over, they're the head of the private. The private's not less of a person. The private's not incapable. The private's not inferior to the sergeant. As a matter of fact, in many cases, the private's more capable than the sergeant. In many cases, the private is better at everything that they're doing than the sergeant is. But for us to have a good military, there must be order. There must be an order. There's a proper working of things. There's a proper flow of authority that is set up. So very capable, very qualified, very good privates get their lead, get their headship from the sergeant. But this is all taboo in our culture, isn't it? It's taboo. Many of you may even be offended right now. I pray not. I pray that we are saying, God, okay, show us. You know, we've been studying Timothy, and he's been showing us how to behave in the church. We're not talking about out in the workplace here, and I'll read the scripture in a moment. We're not talking about that. We're talking about in the church and in the home, and specifically in these verses, we're talking about the church. But God lays this out in the church and the home. I've worked for many women. In the secular world, I have worked for women. I've worked for godly women who were smart, they were brilliant, and they could do what they could do phenomenally well, and I learned much from them. And sometimes I've worked for Christian ladies who could do that, and not only did they show me how to do the business, they showed me how to do it in godly ways. They showed me how to act and how to work and how to negotiate in godly ways. We're not talking about the workplace. We're talking about the church, and we're talking about the home. We're not talking about the workplace. We're not talking about store. We're not talking about those places. We're talking about the church and the home. I've worked for leaders who weren't Christian, women leaders who weren't Christian, but they were still phenomenally good at what they did. They owned the whole business. One of them was like the 32nd largest business of that type in the country. Phenomenally good leaders. But not in the church. Not at home. It's taboo. We reject the God-given purpose for men and women. Wives reject the leadership of their husbands. Men and women in the church reject the leadership of elders and bishops and pastors. And in many cases, we substitute our own headship in place of the God-ordained headship that He has placed over us. Both men and women are guilty of this. We reject God's ordained leadership over us, and we substitute our own leadership. Today in Sunday school, what did you study? We studied that we should submit to the authority. We should submit to our governments. We studied that, right? It's the same thing. We're dealing with authorities that God has established. And what we would rather do is obey the authority that God established and put ourselves in authority, put ourselves in the position that God did not give to us. If God wanted you to be the president, guess what? You would be the president. If God wanted you to be a congressman or a senator or a congresslady or senator? Senator, the same thing, same word? You would be. You would be that. We're guilty of this. And this is important. But like I said, today's introduction. This is the introduction to next week's sermon, okay? That's what this is. In a minute, I'm going to be done. We're going to pray, and we're going to go to the reception. But what I'm about to tell you is important. I would suggest you write it down, commit it to memory, do something. Because next week, we're going to need what I'm telling you right now. We're going to need this. In Genesis, before the fall, if you're taking notes, write that down. Before the fall, Adam was created first, then Eve was made as his helper. Adam was the leader, Eve was his helper. Satan approached Eve. Eve decided for herself how to interpret God's command. Remember, we pointed out when we were going through Genesis that God told Adam before the creation of Eve that they should not eat from any of the trees in the garden. He told Adam that. Eve got that instruction from Adam. Before the fall, in the garden, before the fall ever happened, the roles were already established. And so when Satan approached Eve and he said, "Hey Eve, here's some great fruit. Eat this fruit." She decided how to interpret God's command. She decided for herself if she should believe Satan or God. She should believe the deception or she should believe what she had already been told. She decided. She took the leadership role in determining whether or not she should follow what God had said plainly or what now she's being told. And she rejected the leadership of God and the leadership of Adam. Brought it to Adam. And what did Adam do? He followed her lead. He followed her lead. He said, "Okay, sure." And he took the fruit and he ate it too. That's what we have going on today. Men are just sitting back. They're not leading. Women are taking the interpretation on their own. They're trying, and then men are saying, "Hey, go ahead. Go ahead and do it." So if you remember now the punishment, and you can turn to Genesis 3:16, the punishment then, the curses that God hands out, and this is so important to grasping this, and what we talk about, the curses are commiserate to the crime, and they match something that was before the curse. The man refused to lead and work for his food, right? The man refused to lead and work for his food. He refused to provide. Now he has to work hard for his food all the days of his life. He had to work before the fall. Man had to work. We talked about his job was to rule and subdue the earth, to tend the garden, to make sure everything was all right, to gather the food, to have a family, to be fruitful, to multiply, to pass on that which God had told them. We talked about all of that. He had work to do, but now his work was going to be hard work. Now it's going to be the curse for Adam. He always had to work, but now, after the fall, the curse is it's going to be hard work. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread all the days of your life. The woman refused to go to Adam for direction. She refused to go to him. So now she will go to him even though she does not want to. And that's what it says in Genesis 3:16. You can look at that. We'll read it together. Genesis 3:16. It says, "And to the woman he said," that's God speaking, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing." He's going to do what to her pain? Multiply. There's already going to be pain. It's already going to be difficult. Now it's going to be multiplied and difficult. Man was already going to have to work for his food. Now he's going to have to work hard for his food. "In pain you shall bring forth the children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Well, what did that desire mean? Remember, that the word desire can actually mean against. Her desire is to rule her husband. Her desire is against her husband. But he will rule over you. You see, her desire had always been for her husband. But it wasn't to rule. It wasn't to be lead. It was a different kind of desire. And Adam was to be the leader. Now she desires to lead him. Now she desires to lead him. He will rule over her. He was always the head. He was the head since the beginning. But now it's going to be contended. Now there's going to be some sort of problem between the two. It's going to be difficult. You see, and this has been Satan's desire from the beginning. Satan is all about telling people that they would have a better life. I'm telling you, this is exactly what Satan's doing. She will desire to rule over him, yet God says in this verse, in verse 16, that the man will rule over the woman. What was originally intended to be a mutual understanding about the roles and functions within the family is now on us by force, and we don't want to do it. Men were to provide. Now, providing would be by hard work. Women were to give birth and to help their husbands rule and subdue, but now birth would be hard and they would not want to help their husbands rule and subdue. Rather, they would want to do it themselves. Rebellion against headship, rebellion against authority is Satan's sin. We need to understand that. Rebellion against authority is the sin of Satan. It is Satan's sin. It was Satan's mode of operation in heaven when he tried to assume God's authority. He tried to assume God's position. He tried to assume God's status. Satan did not like the role and function he was given, and he wanted to take God's role and function. He wanted to be God himself. It was his mode of operation in the garden when he convinced Adam and Eve that they should reject God's authority and be like him. Satan said, hey, you can be like God. Why be a mere just human being? You can have the knowledge of God. Reject God's authority and do what feels right, man. Reject God's authority and do what I'm telling you to do. It's Satan's sin. That was his mode of operation in Sodom when he convinced men to take the role of women in one another's lives. The woman's not good enough for the man. He convinced the man to take that role in one another's lives. He convinces women to take that role in one another's lives. That was his role in the early church in Ephesus. Satan's role, his sin, is to get you to cast off any authority that God has put on your life and on my life. It's his role in the early church. Satan did that. He did it there in Ephesus. And when he tried to get the women to take the authority from the elders in the church, and that's his mode of operation today. He wants nothing more than for you to cast off the restraint that he's given to us. Everywhere you go in the secular world and in the church, you see men setting back and refusing to lead, refusing to be godly men who lead in godly ways, and you see women stepping up and taking the lead. Is that not what we see everywhere in secular world and in the church? You see men who are slacking, and you see women stepping in to those roles. See, God wanted us to represent Him. God wanted us to be fruitful and multiply, and Satan wants us to reject God's purpose for the sexes. Satan wants us to reject God's purpose for humanity, and he wants us to become homosexuals who refuse to be fruitful and multiply, who refuse to do our God-given duty, and refuse to obey. He wants to pervert every single relationship and every single role and every single rank and every single authority that God has placed in your life. And the number one relationship is a relationship that a man has with a woman. It was the relationship that God established before the fall. And Satan wants to destroy it. God made you in His image. That means, we talked about this, that you can reflect His glory. Just like the moon does not put off light on its own, but what? The moon reflects the sun's light. The moon reflects the glory of the sun. You were created to reflect the glory of God. And He made you male and female in order to do that, because just the man himself was not complete. He made you male and female to do that. And now we reject the females. The males are going after males, and the females are going after females. God wants us to represent Him, to be fruitful, multiply. Satan wants us to reject all of God's purposes. All for the sexes. Refuse to do our God-given duty. Refuse to obey. And God's plan is that people will give Him glory, reflect His goodness, and serve Him with love and happiness. That's God's plan. Reflect His glory, do His purposes, and love Him. That's what. But Satan's plan is the annihilation of people, because we represent God. Satan wants to destroy us. Do you know what it takes to have a baby? A man and a woman. They are both needed. They are both required. They are both important. If Satan can somehow get us to stop having babies, he's going to win. Why did God say, of all things, be fruitful and multiply? Why is Satan trying to stop the multiplication of people? Why is that? Now, we know that in God's providence, sometimes people don't get married at all. Sometimes people have the gift of singleness. We know that sometimes people don't have children of their own. We know that they work with other children. We understand that. But God's purpose was that we would multiply and fill the earth. Satan's wanting to stop it. He's working his hardest to stop it. He's even working inside the walls of the churches in America and even churches in Europe. Churches around the world. Satan's plan is to destroy us. Satan's plan is lies and hatred and rebellion and sadness and destruction. God has saved us to bring Him glory once again. He saved us so that we don't have to follow the ways of the world. The ways of the world, friendship with the world, is what? Enmity, that is hatred towards God. That's the ways of the world. But God has saved us so that we're no longer friends with the world. We're no longer hatred towards God. But now we're once again following His purpose and His plan. That's why He saved us. God wants us to return to His plan, His purpose, His roles, and His reasoning for the gender. He wants this in our homes and in our churches. And all this leads us to our text in Timothy. As I said, this is the introduction. So I'll give you one thing here out of Timothy, and then we'll hit the pause button, and we'll come back next week to finish. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. We will explain all of this over the coming weeks. There will be a lot left unexplained today, but we will read the Scripture. Verse number 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let a woman learn quietly with all submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. Now, everything that I've spoken of up until this point will allow us to explain this passage next week. It's all important. It's all relevant. And so in order for us to understand this, we had to have today. What I did is I asked my wife to read this passage. She's not in here today. I said, baby, I need you if I'm going to be preaching on this. I need to look over and she needs to go, no, or... She's not here. She's back there getting ready for the stuff we're going to be doing here in a minute. And so I just couldn't get through of everything we had. But I asked her, I said, read this passage for me, please, and write down from a woman's perspective the questions that will be raised by this. And write down from a woman's perspective the things that concern you or you wonder about. And she did. And so next week I will answer a lot of those questions and try to explain the Scripture, but the first one here, I will go ahead and answer. The question is this Paul's personal conviction or is this a direct mandate from God? But before I answer that question, I want to repeat to you what I said was the bottom line a few weeks ago. And the bottom line is this. The high calling of a godly woman requires Christ-like submission to her God-given purpose. Every word in that's important. The high calling. It's not a lowly calling. It's not an oppressed calling. It's not a calling of servitude and slavery. It's not that at all. It's not to be a beast of burden. It is the high calling of a godly woman. That is God's call upon the woman. The high calling of a godly woman requires Christ-like submission. Not submission that the world gives. Not submission you see modeled in the society around you. But it requires Christ-like submission, who did not consider equality with something with God as something to be grasped, but He emptied Himself willingly and took on the role of a servant so that you and I could be saved. That type of submission is Christ-like submission to her God-given purpose. Not to the man's purpose, not to the world's purpose, but to her God-given purpose, to what God ordained her to do. That is the bottom line. And if women are taking and filling the role of men, then men will step back and become slackers, and they will waste their lives on meaningless pursuits. And that is exactly what you have today. You have men wasting their life on meaningless pursuits, refusing to step up and be the men that God has called them to be. Not to be oppressive, not to be abusive, not to be a loud mouth, not to be aggressive, but to be God-fearing, God-honoring men who are husbands to their wives. That's what God... And number two, the most important role of a woman will go undone and unfulfilled if she begins to fill the man's role. If a woman begins to fill the man's role, then who's going to fill the woman's role? The man will not have the helper he needs to complete the God-given purpose for which both of them were put on this earth. The woman has a high calling. And so here, to answer the question, is this Paul's personal conviction that we just read, and we haven't even explained it yet, but is this his personal conviction, or is this a direct... Chapter 2, verse number 1 there, 1 Timothy. He says, first of all then, I urge you. So he says, I urge. In verse number 8, he says, I desire. I desire. And then verse number 12 is where this question comes from. He says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Is Paul saying it's just me who desires this, or is this God telling us that He desires it? And the short answer is yes. Yes. Flip over to chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. Verse number 1, and we explained this several weeks ago. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, what? By the command of God. By command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. He's saying, I was commanded to teach this. I was commanded to tell you this. Christ sent Paul to start the churches, to teach us what is right, to lead us in the ways of Christ. So that when he says, I desire, it is a command. It's no less authoritative than him saying by the Lord's command. Some of us have Bibles that have the red lettering in them. Do you know that the red letter is no more authoritative than the black letters? Do we understand that? We believe in this church, if you're a part and a member of this church, we believe our articles of faith and what you say that you believe, and you need to believe it if you're going to be a member here, is that this is the infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God. It is without any mixture of error. The black letters and the red letters, it's all authoritative, and it is all God's instruction to us without any mixture of error, none whatsoever, and it is right in everything that it speaks to. We believe that. And so when Paul says, I desire, he's saying God desires. He's telling us what God wants. He's telling us what His purpose was. He was the one sent out by Jesus Christ to start the churches and to establish the churches. And that's why when we read a few weeks ago that He desired that in every place that the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger and quarreling, we said we're going to start a prayer service in the middle of our service. Because God says that's the way the church ought to operate. He's told us this is the way we need to behave. And because He says this, then this is what we're going to do. And if we need to change some things about the way we do things, then that's what we're going to do. We're going to change the way we do things. And so what we've started doing is we started having prayer. The prayer are going to be led by men. It's going to be led by men because He says the men should be leading out in that. And we've got that. But women can pray in the church. That's not the issue. And we're going to get more into that next week. They can pray in church. They can offer their opinions in Sunday school. They can do those things. They can share biblical insight. They can do those things. And we'll get into that. And we'll explain what all of that means. But the reason we're having prayer time is because God says that's what we need to do. And like He says everything else here, this is what we need to do, then this is what we will start doing. One of the primary reasons that He uses this personal language, I desire, I urge, I do not permit, is because he had a personal relationship with the church of Ephesus. He had been there 3 years prior to this instance, working to start the church, working in the church, being a part of the church. He had been there for 3 years, and so there is a personal relationship. But that in no way should diminish the fact that this is a mandate from God. Oftentimes I say it is my desire to reach people with the gospel. And it is. I want to reach people for Jesus. I want this church to reach people for Jesus. I want to reach people close to us. I want to reach people in the pew. I want to reach people in Grandale. And I want to reach people on the other side of the planet. I want us to do that. But that in no way should mean that this is only my desire and it's not also Christ's desire. Right? And so when the Bible says something, we need to listen. How dare any of us think that we're so right that we've got it all figured out, we know exactly what to do. We don't know how to do church. We don't know how to do church. God's telling us how to do it. God's telling us how to be men. We don't know how to be men. We don't know how to be women. God's telling us how to be women. Not me, you. And not all of you, just the women. He's telling us. And so this is where we're going to stop today. This is where we're going to stop. And so there's several things that brought up. It's not, you know, there's not one big huge thrust like normal, but maybe this is an area in your life where you've seen it abused and you're kind of worried in what I'm about to teach and you know what's coming and it's going to bring up some anxiety about you and you just want to place that on the altar and you want to give that to God. And that's okay to do that. Believe me, it brings up some anxiety in me. I know it's not a subject that we all want to hear, we all want to talk about. But we need to hear what God has to say. And we need to do what He has to say. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like God's leading you to be a part of a church that's going to preach the Word of God, who's going to believe that this is the Word of God, and we're not going to change it because of our desires and our traditions and our wants, but rather we're going to change ourselves because of what it says. If you want to be a part of a church like that, then this is a time that maybe you could come forward and say, I want to be a part of a church like that. And we can share with you how to do that. Maybe this morning you know, just by what I've already said, that God's calling you to submit to His authority in your life. And maybe there's things in your life where it may be with the authorities of the government, it may be with local civil authorities, it may be authority in the home, it may be authority in the church, whatever it is, and you know that you've been rejecting that or you've been rebellious towards that in your heart, and you just want to clean that up before next week. Let's pray.